Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and on Mondays, it's my favorite day. I get to talk to quilters about quilting. We're going to have four different segments today. Talk a bit about using less fabric in a quilt with Kathy Brown from Teacher's Pet. Kathy's been on before, and she is so fabulous, and she has such great ideas that I want her to come on and tell us a bit more about the type of quilt she makes and what's new in her life, including fabric that she's doing and stuff like that. So, hi, Kathy. How are you? Oops. See, we're waiting to get Kathy there. Kathy, are you there? Nope. Oh, we lost Kathy. So let me just tell you a little bit about Kathy's work. She has written quite a few books on strip smart processing, strip smart quilts. And so, you know, they're ones that you can use just five fabrics. That's her big thing. We're going to actually try to call the next guest because we're having trouble getting hold of Kathy. The line keeps going through, but she's not there. So we will see if we can bring on the next person. And while that's happening, let me just tell you a little bit about what's going on at American Patchwork. So at American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine, you can go online to their website and look at allpeoplequilt.com. And did you know they have a blog? On the blog right now, they are running all kinds of interesting shows, interesting contests, and challenges. You can go over to the toolbar where it says magazines and more and click on blog. I think actually we just got Kathy. Do we have Kathy? Kathy, are you there?
Hi, yes,
Kathy.
I'm here, Pat.
Oh, hey. Good. Good, good, good. I'm so glad to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Kathy, you are celebrating 20 years in business. This is phenomenal. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. When I realized it last year, it really took me by surprise. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been doing this long.
So tell
the
me
time
how.
Time has flown.
What do you think is one of the biggest changes that you have seen in quilt making since you started?
Oh gosh, just in my opinion, just the invention of all the new tools. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's and I mean tools like, you know, hands-on, like mm-hmm. your rotary cutter and,
right.
and basics like that, to using the internet, you
mm-hmm.
know, to access classes and things like that, you know, we just never had before back in the day.
Back in the day. So you yourself have been very innovative. I mean, I'm sure that your work looks much different now than it did when you started.
Oh, yes, it sure does. Yeah,
so,
I started off just doing applique sweatshirts in the very beginning and then got into the quilting aspect and did some very basic applique, but it was nothing like it is today.
You know,
and the tools really help that along.
It changes tremendously. I want you to tell us a little bit about your sort of concept of using less fabrics to make a stunning quilt, because you've pretty much mastered this with your books and your tools. What made you go this way?
Well, back in 2005, as you may remember, Hurricane Katrina hit this area. And we had a lot of women trying to make, you know, comfort quilts for the Katrina victims.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I went up to my local quilt shop to help the women choose fabric, because that's one of my most favorite things in the entire world to do is just pick out fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just love color. And these women were agonizing about picking 16 or 20 fat quarters at a time that would match so that they could make a particular quilt pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched them, you know, for hours at a time. They'd spend 2 and 3 hours agonizing over a decision, you know, of how to match these back quarters so that they would look good in a quilt when this is supposed to be a fun process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quilting is supposed to be lots of fun. Where, I mean,
right.
We're not out there doing it to torture ourselves. And yet they were doing that, trying to pick out fabrics. So I went back. One night I woke up in the middle of the night just thinking about the things that I did when I taught first grade and how we always did everything in the classroom by the rule of five. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to that basic rule that you can do anything from the number five. And you know, without going into a lot of the educational stuff, I used that number to develop the process of, hey, go out there and pick a focus fabric. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a solid. I don't care if it's a novelty fabric or a plaid or, you know, a gorgeous floral. Whatever catches your eye that's the most beautiful thing you cannot live without.
Mm-hmm.
And then build four fabrics around that. From that point, and building the four fabrics is easy because you've got other colors, except for a solid, you've got other colors
right.
in there
right.
to help you. If you start with a solid, you can go find printed fabrics that have that solid color in them and then mix textures in there. It's real simple once you learn the process. And once you've done that, those five fabrics go together automatically. It's a piece of cake.
You know, I just love your books, Kathy, because you've done several books now with the Strip Smart Quilts, which, you know, sort of apply this concept and give people patterns to use those fabrics. And they are just stunning. I don't think a lot of people would realize how few fabrics are being used.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. Sometimes less is more. I know that sounds funny, but it's...
I know.
You know,
it's hard.
Again, go back to the basics. Less is more. And you can create really scrappy-looking quilts with just a few fabrics.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk rulers just for a minute, because I do want to talk about your fabric lines and stuff, too. You like specialty rulers. Why did you start using them, go out of sort of the basic ruler set that we all have?
Well, I'm kind of a person that notices the oddities. You know, and the quirks in life. And I was at Market several years ago, and I noticed this particular ruler, the Creative Grids 90-degree double-strip ruler. Well, it had the two peaks on it. I like to call it the Dolly Parton ruler. And it just, I looked at it, and I thought it was really odd, and then I got to looking on the front picture, you know, on the literature of it, and it showed a block that I didn't know how to make.
Oh.
And so I just grabbed the ruler and took it home, and it sat in my ruler basket. Now, at the time, I only had, I think, three rulers to my name, but that one sat in the basket. And then one day, I pulled it out, and because it was so odd, I looked at it, and I thought, well, gosh, this thing can do a whole lot more than just that one block. And the ideas started to flow. And that's where the Strip Smart series came from. But beyond that, I started looking at other odd-shaped rulers and trying to figure out, you know, ways that I could use them. So now I have just that ruler basket has grown. Let's just put it that way.
You know, I think your teaching background comes out, Kathy, because you're a lifelong learner to, you know, want to be curious and look at something and think, how can I use that, right?
Right. And more, how can I make it easier for myself? Because I'm a very impatient person. And if I can't make something in a day, I'm not happy. So I try to do things that may look complicated, but they're really very, very, very easy to do. And even in the Strip Smart book, some of the quilts that you can look at that look like, oh my gosh, it'll take me a month to make this thing. And I've had classes where people will make the top in the day, and they are just amazed that they can do it. And that's what I love, is being able to bring that to the students and let them see how easy this can be.
Oh, so exciting to just have a light bulb go off when you can use something and make your life fun, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's, like I said, that's what it's all about, is having fun.
Having fun, having fun. 20 years of fun for you, Kathy.
Yes.
So tell me about your fabric lines with Red Rooster.
Oh, gosh, I can't say enough about Red Rooster. They are just so awesome. I think I've done, 8 or 9 fabric lines with them. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It gets lost in the jumble between what I've done, what's getting ready to come out,
right,
and what's being worked on right now. But I've had a number of floral lines that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked me if I would like to try a children's line. And, you know, being a first grade teacher, I had enough ideas there to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the children's line, and it did quite well. So that's what I'm focusing on right now, which gives me a lot of diversity in what I do. You know, I go from working on children's things to, mm-hmm. you know, doing adult quilts to working with the rulers and, you know, a lot of different things. And that's what I like. But the kids' fabrics are all bright and happy. And who doesn't like making a quilt for a child?
I know. And so many people make their first quilt for a child. That's what I hear all the time.
Yeah, they do. And it's easy with panels and you know, simple pieces in the children's fabrics to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, people can visit you at the-teachers-pet.com. That's your website.
Yes.
Or they can just say Kathy Brown Quilt. And Kathy, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad you could pop in. And congratulations on 20 years in the quilt business.
Thank you so much, Pat, and thanks for having me today.
Thank you. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Podcast. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Gina Redden of splintersandthreads.com, and we're going to talk to her about woodcuts and all the sort of things that she is doing.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Gina Redden is the designer behind splintersandthreads.com, and I've known Gina a long time. Every time I go to a show, if Gina's there, I just get such enjoyment out of visiting her, seeing what she's up to. She's very creative. She's very innovative. And the last time I was there, she had these beautiful carved wooden blocks. And so I asked her if she would come on the show and talk a little bit about that and the other things that she's doing in the quilt world. So hi, Gina. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Can you first tell me, because I don't actually know, how did you get into quilt making?
Well, when I was pregnant with my oldest, who is now 23. we were stationed out in San Diego, and my husband had gone on a six-pack, and I thought, on a six-month Westpac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can make a quilt. So I went to the fabric store and bought what I thought was very pretty fabric and mm-hmm. bought a book and started cutting it out after tracing all the templates. And I was like, this is for the birds. So I kind of put it down then, and it lost my attention for a long time until I had child number three, and then I found Simply Quilts on TV, and I was hooked.
Ah, so you were able to visualize it when you saw it, you know, watch somebody making it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, you know, we just said this to Kathy Brown, so many people make quilts for children as their first motivation to quilt.
That's funny, because you asked me what the first thing I designed was, and it was mm-hmm. a baby quilt.
Oh, yeah, your background is in computer-aided design, drafting, digitizing. So, you know, at one point did you go, I like this fabric quilting thing. I can marry the two, my technical abilities with what I do for fun.
Well, it was once I was home with children number 4 and 5, and I wanted to be the one raising my children, mm-hmm. That I decided I needed to do something from home. And so mm-hmm. My husband bought me an embroidery machine, and it kind of went from there. You know, I thought, well, I can just get all the designs I need online, but I soon found out that not everything I wanted was online, mm-hmm. so I started making my own.
I see. You know, the necessity is the mother of invention, right?
It sure is.
Now, how long have you been doing this? I've known you quite a while, and you've always had a business.
My business for about 13 years.
Okay, yeah. So that's why. You and I probably started around the same time.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool. So your business has changed over all this time. Of course, we all change. You know, things interest us, different things are going on. When I saw you at the trade show recently, and you had these beautiful carved wood to stamp with, tell me what that's about. Tell me about this project.
Well, a friend of mine from the UK used to come over once or twice a year to a couple of shows here in the United States, and she saw my embroidery designs and thought these would be great into stamped blocks. So she did some, and they sold out very quickly. And then she's just got talking to me more about doing my own. She said, since you're at so many of the shows, why don't you do them yourself? Mm-hmm. And so she connected me with some carpenters mm-hmm. In India. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. They're all hand-carved wooden blocks by a group of, well, we support 40 families that
wow.
are over there. And they're all hand-carved. Mm-hmm. They've learned this technique from their grandfathers, from their great-grandfathers, so it's an age-old tradition that has been handed down. Mm-hmm. And with the invention of screens, silk screens and everything, it was one invention that was going away. And mm-hmm. so we're trying to bring back before chops were for batiks. This mm-hmm. is what the original printing on fabric was done with, hand-carved wooden blocks.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. And they're, what kind of wood? Does it matter, or do they prefer a certain kind of wood?
Well, they use the wood, they find a sustainable hardwood that they mm-hmm. can get locally. And that may vary. Some of mm-hmm. mine are dark background. Some of them have mm-hmm. a lighter background wood. But after they're all carved, they soak them in olive oil. And that helps the clarity, and it helps the life of the blocks.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought about having to have to soak them. I mean, they're just gorgeous just to view. But now you're designing them, and then you have contracted them to make them. Is that right? Is that how it goes?
Correct. Right.
Oh.
My friend introduced me to a man in India. His name is Puneet, and mm-hmm. He goes out and he contracts all the carpenters.
Oh, okay.
And so the contractors are paid completely for their blocks. They're mm-hmm. They set the price, and then we go from there. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that they are paid fairly.
Mm-hmm. They're just gorgeous. And how are you using them besides, you know, being something beautiful a person could display? What, you know, I showed some pictures of them stamped on the fabric. Is that how primarily people would use them?
That is the main way that I use mm-hmm. them. There are a lot of people that do that four-letter word that's H-A-N-D. Stitching on top of them. That's kind of a foreign letter to me, but I'm learning it. I'm trying to.
Hand stitching. Yes, Gina. Some of us hand stitch.
Well, so I'm trying to learn it.
Oh, okay. I know. You're like Miss Embroidery Machine, you know. It's
yes.
Like, what? I could do this faster on the machine.
Yes.
So when you want to stamp an image, walk me through the process, the paints, the tools. What are you using?
Okay. Underneath my fabric, first of all, I'll press out my fabric to remove any of the creases that it may have. Mm-hmm. And then underneath the fabric, I put a high-density foam mat. And it gives a little bit of give, so you get a real good impression. But you don't want it so soft that it will, you know, just melt in or mold completely into the mm-hmm. the underground fabric. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to produce a clear, clean image. And then I use a foam brush and apply a thin coating onto the face of the stamp. Mm-hmm. Place the stamp down onto the fabric and then press firmly all the way around it. And I just mm-hmm. walk my fingers over it.
Right.
And you don't want to rock it because that will leave some, you'll have some bleeding on the sides.
Yeah, the ink will roll to the side if you mm-hmm. rock it. Yeah.
And so you just lift straight up and then you just continue around, stamping around on your fabric.
Now, is there a particular type? Do you have a particular type of fabric and a particular type of paint, or are there some options?
There are some options. Now, with the fabric, let me start with the paint. With the paint, mm-hmm. I like to use a water-based paint, especially when I'm at the shows, because it doesn't have the additives in it that acrylic mm-hmm. does. Mm-hmm. And if it dries out, I'm going to be able to wash it off easily. With the acrylic, you have to be able to remove it immediately or else it will build up inside all those fine lines and you won't get the clear impression.
Oh, that's important because some of these are very delicate. They have a lot of intricate carving in them.
Very.
Yeah.
And then as far as fabrics, you can use just about anything as far as silks. I've done it. I use it on papers. I've done it on... burlap, which is real cute for bags.
Yeah.
Or I found a really soft burlap and made a beautiful table runner and just bound the edges and let the rest fray. And it was just so unique.
Neat. Neat. So to describe what some of the designs are, because you have a variety and on your website, you actually have them by category so people can find them.
Well, most of mine are based, I've got butterflies, I've got crosses, I've got elephants, I've got the Mindy hands, a lot of the traditional blocks, mm-hmm. and those aren't the ones that I've designed, but I bring those in also because mm-hmm. people seem to just love those. Elephants seem to be very popular, mm-hmm. and, pretty
and
much
have
anything that you can think of, turtles, sea life.
And do they vary? Like you have a lot of Celtic pieces, which seeing that, you know, March and it's coming up, the Celtic knots are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can do those and then add decorative stitching around them just to add mm-hmm. some pop and then put crystals on top of that.
Mm. Now, do you still travel and vend quite a bit, right?
I do.
Yeah, I do, she says.
I do. You say hear me say that because I really miss being at home with my children.
Oh.
And I just got off of 4 weeks on the road, so.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 4 weeks straight is a long time between events. Now, you have a show schedule on your site?
I do. The next show I will be at is the Dallas Quilt Show, and then after that, it will be Paducah.
Oh, okay. Now, will you be demoing the wood blocks in your booth?
I sure will.
Oh, good so people can come and see them in action. I mean, that's the, you know, just, I was so drawn to your booth. Well, of course, I was coming to see you, but I mean, it's sort of like you had all that. And I was like, oh, I really need to know about this. So do you also teach workshops?
I do. I am available for teaching, which is actually what I love to do, is get hands-on.
What kind of things are you teaching lately?
Well, the blocks.
Okay.
And how to do them. I also teach with the embroidery designs. Some of the techniques I teach with the outline embroidery designs can also double in with the blocks, as far as the types of way this that you color them in, or adding different techniques to them.
Ah, and you love color, right, Gina?
Oh, I have an aversion to that. Can't. Bright colors with, contrasted against black.
Yes. Your favorites, right?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. And so do you have a particular, we just have like, you know, half a minute, but do you have a particular color right now that's sort of your go-to color?
I have started going for orange.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure why.
But this is a new for you, right?
Yes.
Isn't that funny how we change? We just sort of, you know, see something, and then that's what we have to have. Well, you also have a newsletter, so people can visit you at splintersandthreads.com and sign up for your newsletter.
Yes.
And I appreciate you being here, Gina. This has been a lot of fun to learn about your new woodblocks.
Thank you, Pat.
We'll be right back after this message with the editors from American Patchwork.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner here in the American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Studio, and I'm with editor Jody Sanders of Quilts and More. And Jody, we're going to talk for this segment about our word of the year, creating a better life. And that's really what we're focused on here in 2014, is using quilting to create a better life for yourself, your family, your friends. And another important element of that is creating a better life for your community.
And that may take many different forms. And one of the things we've been fortunate to do in American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine is take a look at how quilting changes everything for people. And so we thought we might just go through some of those stories to remind you if you've forgotten about some of them, or maybe you didn't see them the first time around. We thought maybe we'd go through and talk a little bit about how quilting changes everything for people.
And I love, we do hear often from readers and from fans of the magazine about the things that their quilt guilds do or that their friends and them have gotten involved in their communities. And we love when they share those stories. So by all means, if you have a story that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. And you can email me at jennifer@meredith.com and tell me how quilting has changed things in your community and in your life because of that. So the first story I'd like to share is one. We do have a column every issue of American Patchwork and Quilting called Quilting Changes Everything, and that's where you can see some of these stories that we hear from people. But the one I'd like to share to begin with is from our April 2014 issue, and that is about Rebuilding Together. And if you're not familiar with Rebuilding Together, they're an organization that works with people in a community to rebuild their homes. We're all pretty familiar with things like Habitat for Humanity, where they build new homes, but Rebuilding Together helps people rebuild and sort of shore up their existing homes and make them more inhabitable. And so Meredith Corporation, which is the parent company of American Patchwork and Quilting, is involved in that here in the Des Moines area. And we go out and work in the community to help rebuild some homes here. And this year, when we did this project, we also tied it to our Million Pillowcase Challenge. And we made pairs of pillowcases because we got to thinking about giving all of these families that we were working with pillowcases. And if you're not familiar with the Million Pillowcase Challenge, you can go to allpeoplequilt.com/millionpillowcases and learn about the challenge. But our staff made pairs of pillowcases because we thought, you know, to make a house more like a home, having a pair of pillowcases is really what we have at our homes. You know, when you're making the bed, you have something to choose from. So we made pairs of pillowcases and we took several sets out to these homeowners and offered them the opportunity to choose the ones that they liked best. And really, as far as a fulfilling day, I can't think of any day last year that was better than the day that I got to visit with those homeowners.
It's really an inspiring story, I think. And you mentioned the rebuilding part of it. And it really can be anything from helping with some gardening things, refreshing paint on an outside. It could be helping doing some indoor plumbing kind of things that maybe needed an upgrade or a fix up. So the thing that I love about the program is that it can take skills. Anybody has skills that they can help in that. And it allows everybody in the corporation to be able to be involved in that kind of an activity, and for us to be able to take sewing skills that we have and to be able to contribute to that. I think, like you say, it's so heartwarming, and it's always fun when we take pillowcases out to see the patterns. People are always so selective. They love looking over which one and picking out which one is their favorite. That's always fun to watch, I think.
Exactly. And we ended up, I think, leaving at least a minimum of 3 sets of pillowcases with each homeowner that we were working with. And they were so excited to not only get a pair of pillowcases, but to get 3 pairs of pillowcases that they could choose from. So quilting is changing everything in the Rebuilding Together organization, and we have partnered with them since then to do more of this in more communities. And if it's something that you'd like to do in your community, you can go to rebuildingtogether.org to see if there is a local chapter that maybe you can partner with in your community and make pillowcases. And we'd encourage you to participate not only with them, but also in the American Patchwork and Quilting Million Pillowcase Challenge. And make sure you add your pillowcases to our counter, because we're more than halfway there. And we would love to have people contribute in that way and make a meaningful difference in their community. So that's one way that quilting changes everything. But it doesn't have to always change things on a big scale for everyone. Sometimes it can be more personal. So, Jody, you have a story to share about that.
You know, it's really a heartwarming story that I remember seeing a couple years ago. And it just the first time I saw it, it really made me feel like you're never too old to do anything. And we were brought a story about a lady, Lorene Carnes, and for 70 years, at the time of we were hearing the story, she was 93. But from the time she was in her 20s, 70 years ago, she always wanted to be a fashion illustrator. That was always her goal and her dream. And it just didn't happen for her. And then her drawings were discovered, and they were put to fabric by the Robert Kaufman Fabric Company. And they are amazing. Their illustrations from you know, 70 years ago that they have put on print in different variations. And what a heartwarming story for her to see her her designs actually be used in fabric at the age of 93. I mean, it's just, it was a great story.
Right, and the smile on her face was worth everything that you could see.
And we talked about that in our February 2014 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting.
And if you don't have back issues of the magazine for the stories we're talking about and you're interested in them, at allpeoplequilt.com/getdigital, you can find back issues of the magazine. Another story that I love, and one, again, that people can really take heart in their own communities. America is such a diverse country now, and we have so many people here from so many different places. And this story came to us from a little quilt shop, Tilly's Quilts, in Fort Dodge, Iowa. And Fort Dodge isn't a very big town, but There were a group of South Korean women who had moved to Fort Dodge, Iowa, because of the work that their husbands were doing in the area. And they decided to learn to quilt and to gain some stitching skills while they were here in the U.S. And so the owner of Tilly's Quilts, Joe Seltz, set up a class specifically for these ladies to learn how to quilt. And with another gal in her shop, Diane Lehman, they got together and started teaching these women the basics. And what's most fascinating about this story and what I love about it is that of the four women that learned, only one of them was had English speaking skills. So they were really down to the basics of illustrating and showing these women how to quilt. And the common bond or common thread, if you will, between them was this desire to learn how to sew and quilt. And language was no barrier. And I try to imagine what those first classes must have been like for them, with the one woman being able to interpret. But really, it just came down to having the fabric and the needles in your hands and the desire to create something beautiful. And I think, gosh, if I was ever in a country where I didn't speak the language, how excited would I be to find a quilt shop and someplace that I could go in and make something that was familiar when I couldn't understand anything else that was going on around me. And, you know, the shop owner, Joe, talks about how they were able to sort of discern just by trial and error as they went through this class and to figure out what people needed. But these women were really precise, and their story was just really compelling to me, and it made me think about how much more could we do a reach out. My daughter at one point was teaching English as a second language when she was in high school, and I always remember her coming home and saying, "Mom, you know, some of the people I'm teaching have come here from Bosnia, and they were tailors, and they sewed all the time, but they came here, and they haven't learned, or they haven't got the means to afford a sewing machine, and they couldn't bring anything with them." And so we were able to make some connections through that organization to offer up an old sewing machine I had that was just sitting in a cabinet and give it to someone who knew how to sew but didn't have the means to do it. So quilting can change everything, and the ability to be able to do that in an unfamiliar circumstance can be a huge impact for you. So I would encourage people to think about where in your community can you do something like that? Can you teach people to sew who might not know, or can you give something in terms of tools and notions and fabric to help people?
And we talked earlier about the Million Pillowcase Challenge and making pillowcases, and one of the stories we also featured in Quilting Changes Everything was in the October 2013 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting. And that's where we had some brownie troop that came into our sewing lab and learned to do some sewing. Some of the girls had never been exposed to a sewing machine before. And so they get an opportunity to make two pillowcases, one that they got to keep and one that they gave away. And I think that there's not only the lesson of sewing, but there's also the lesson about giving things away and doing things just because it's the right things to do. There were also lessons that the girls learned. It wasn't just about the sewing lesson itself.
And I think that's a great thing when you have kids that are involved, is giving them the chance to do something charitable, but also remembering it's a great thing for kids who are learning to be able to take something with them and have one for themselves and one to give away. It's a great lesson. The other thing that we do sometimes that I think makes a big difference and people might not think about is there's a women's prison here around where our offices are, and we donate fabric scraps and fabrics off of header cards and things like that, extra fabric that we have there, because they do have someone who has a program that teaches some of the inmates to sew and to make small things. And you think about being in a situation where you might otherwise think it's hopeless and there's nothing creative or constructive to do with your time. And by donating to organizations like that, it's another way that you can make a difference in somebody's life and give them the satisfaction of making things that are handmade and giving them some sense of value to the creative process and to using parts of their skill set or life that they might otherwise overlook.
And I think it's also an opportunity to, so many people say, "I'm just not creative." And that's the perfect option or opportunity to give somebody some materials and let them create something with no pressure, no deadline, no anything. It's just, here's some fabric. Do with it what you'd like to do.
Exactly. Well, we are blessed to have jobs where we get to work around and think about and do quilting all day, every day. And I'm always thankful for that. It's a great fortune. And I would just encourage you to figure out in your life how you can make quilting change everything. How do you create a better life for not only yourself, but those in your community? What can you do to make a difference? And figure out what that is and go out there and do it. And I promise you, you'll get more than you give every time. This is Jennifer Keltner in the American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Studio.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Mix and match your fabrics. Be creative and resourceful. Put all your favorite fabrics into one quilt and enjoy them. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Apply spray sizing to soft, lightweight fabrics before cutting and stitching to make them crisp and easy to handle. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Break down fabric selection into steps. First, choose a main print from which you can draw inspiration for the colors. Then, choose a background, medium and small prints, and solids or solid-looking fabrics.
Welcome back. This is Pat. How did you like that segment with Jennifer and Jody? The stories are just amazing. I really, really love hearing them. Jennifer and Jody record these segments there in their Des Moines, Iowa offices. They have a recording studio that's used by the Meredith Corporation. It's pretty cool. I've been there and visited them. And I really, you know, really liked seeing where they are when they do these recorded segments. When I was telling you earlier, we were waiting for Kathy to come on, that they blog over at allpeoplequilt.com. I wanted to share a couple of things that they do there. One is they'll have blogs that they're reading. Their editors go out and look at quilting that's happening on the internet all the time. And then they will come in and share some, you know, sites that they have seen, things that they have liked on the site. They also share what they're doing in their offices, their own challenges. Some of them are working on samplers this year, and so there's a list of the samplers they're working on, the sew-alongs online, and they're showing the blocks that they've done and they've completed from the sew-along, so that's really fun to see. Plus, you get links to those sew-alongs, which is always good. There's, as always, lots of free patterns and the newsletter to sign up for at allpeoplequilt.com, so you can stay in the loop for everything that's new and exciting at the magazine. Now, what we're going to do is we'll take our last break, and when we come back, I have Patty Connor here, and I'm really excited to talk to Patty. She does some amazing projects, and she's a very, very busy woman. So we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Podcast. And I have on Patty Connor of Sam Sarah Design Studio. And when I went by her booth, I was totally captivated by her work. She does both counter cross stitch and quilts. So she kind of works in two worlds that a lot of quilt makers love and enjoy. And I really like some of her techniques, and I wanted to hear about her background and, you know, what inspires her. So Patty, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
I love your work. It feels very whimsical, very, you know, like I just want to make everything. Just get right to it. Yeah. That's like,
yeah,
you have the best
like
snowman. Yeah. You have the best snowman. Oh my goodness. So what is your background? Did you start as a quilt maker from birth, or when did that happen?
Well, I've been a sewer for since I was about 12 or 13, and my mom put me on a clothing allowance. So I learned to sew young, but I didn't start making quilts until after I had children. And I actually went to college to be a graphic designer, and I did that for a number of years. And then when we had kids, I was really lucky that I got to stay home with them. But, you know, you still kind of need some other creative outlet, because even though the kids are just fabulous, they're not always fabulous. So you kind of need a little bit of something else just for yourself. So I picked up a couple of books. And the one that really was the best one for me was It's Okay If You Sit on My Quilts by Mary Ellen Hopkinson.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a 30-year-old book. But it was perfect. I mean, it just worked with the way my brain works. I got it immediately. And, the quarter-inch seam allowance wasn't a big deal. So I just started playing and doing things on graph paper, and off I went. So,
at what point did you make quilts just for yourself and your family at first, and then you branched out? Because you've actually been involved with several businesses, so you're a very entrepreneurial person.
My mother owned her own business. She designed square dance clothing and had a shop, and so that wasn't such a stretch for me to think, oh, I can do this. And in fact, she would like help me set up my books the first time that I did it, because I had no clue.
Yay, Mom!
I know. And so I probably made a couple of baby quilts first for my kids, and then I just started playing with stuff. And I did join a quilt guild and kind of found out what else there was in the world. And I love show and tell. That was my very favorite part.
Yes.
And so I just thought, well, I can do this. You know, I'll make things, and so I sent them off to like magazines and books, mm-hmm. because a lot of people don't know this, but you can submit your work to magazines. The worst they can do is say no thanks, and they happen to say sure, send this in. So I would do that, and then when I'd get the quilt back from them after photography, I would take it to a quilt store that's kind of in a gift area, and they would sell them. So it was a double way to make money for, you know, being home. And so I liked it.
Now, you told me, which I thought was really cute, was that you had things published, and then you just sold them all. You sold the quilt because you're like,
right.
Oh, okay, well, I'll just make another one. But then you realized that you could actually develop patterns, and that there was this whole market for people to buy your design work.
It took me a long time to get to that point. It didn't occur to me until after we started another company, and we met more designers and went to market, because I had never been to a wholesale market before, and so that was a huge eye opener for me.
Now
it's my favorite time of the year. I love market. So
And you're a busy girl, because you do not only the trade shows for the quilt industry, but you do it for the needlework industry.
I do, and I just got back last weekend. We had one in Nashville, and so my house is still in huge chaos because you have to come back and put things away. But it'll get there, and I'm going to spend this week kind of putting that all away and then cleaning up my studio and starting into quilts. And I know a lot of quilt designers already have everything pretty much sewn for spring market, but this is how I work. I just
Oh yeah, I'm not ready for spring market, so no.
Oh, good.
I'm not ready yet, so I still have a lot of sewing to do. Now tell me a little bit about the style of your quilts for people who haven't seen it yet. They're happy and they're whimsical, and you have a lot of seasonal things.
I do, and it's kind of reflects my personality. I just try to always be really upbeat and happy, and so that's out there. And when I first started making quilts, I did an awful lot of piece quilts and changed around how they, you know, the fabrics would make the blocks look. But then I was gone for 15 years, and now I'm back. And so I was looking at what other people were doing because I didn't want to duplicate it. So I just thought, you know, the same little drawings that I used to make my cross stitch can be turned into fabric. And so sometimes I'll take a cross-stitch design and then make it into a quilt, and sometimes I'll take a quilt that I've made and change it into a cross-stitch design. So they both work for me, and I just really like applique because it's not like anything anybody else does. You can tell it's mine, and if you like it, I'm happy that you'd like to make it. So that's...
Yeah. Your drawings are your drawings. It's like people can tell my drawings. Mine don't look like yours, even though I might draw a flower and I might have a snowman. They're not going to be the same. Your hand is on your art when you draw. And I love that you do a lot of small projects. They must be super satisfying. Are they popular?
Well, the thing, they are, and the reason I started that was because I really wanted to make quilt books instead of big patterns, and so what fits in there is what I do. And so, however, now I bought a long-arm quilter this fall, so I had to rearrange my whole house to fit it in, but it's in, and so I will be doing bigger things.
Yes. You now have new tools.
I do. And I had to do that because, you know, you're always last minute right before market. And I spent 2 days quilting on a larger quilt and rolled up into my sewing machine like, you know, most of us start. And my right hand actually went numb. So I kind of went, this can't happen. I need this hand to work. So that's when I finally said, okay, just buy one. So.
Just time. It's time. Now, tell me, the one thing that fascinated me about what you're doing is the use of vinyl for some of your projects and how you were enclosing it and quilting through it and just doing things that I had not seen before. So tell me a little bit about these placemats that you are doing with the applique.
Okay. Well, this is one of the cases where being gone for a long time actually worked in my favor because I didn't know that you couldn't quilt through this stuff. So I just made some stuff. What happened, what even started this whole thing is my mother used to live with us, and she broke her wrist and was having a hard time not spilling her food on, and we always had placemats and napkins, and she'd get really upset that she had made a mess, and so I thought, well, what can I do to make this better? Because she really didn't want to not have a placemat when we all had them. So I just made some with simple fusible applique on them, and then you don't have to finish the edges. Then you fuse a layer of the vinyl on the top, and that seals everything in. So then you just do layer it and sew on all four sides, and then make a slit in the back so you can close it up that way.
Uh-huh.
And the vinyl is on the top. And you just applique some shape over the top of that slit that's on the back. And that way all four edges are nice and tidy. If you left an opening and then tried to turn that in and sew it by hand, it wouldn't work very well. So there's always a bump there because it's a little bit stiff. So I usually make one or two of those in a book if I have a couple of pages extra. But people are wanting a whole book of those, so that's I'm going to do one
a whole
for
book of placemats.
Yes.
Oh, but it's so fun. Do you find that the needle gums up at all going through the vinyl?
It does not. And I actually taught it at Schoolhouse at Market one time, and all these people were going, well, what needle do you use? I'm just like, the one that was on the machine.
Right?
Because I'm stitching last minute everything, so I'm not going to bother to do that. And when I quilt on it, I do drop the feed dogs and do free motion with the darning foot on the top so that I can just go around. But even on the edges, I use a regular presser foot, and so I can do a straight line around the edge. And it doesn't really stick or anything. And I don't know if it's just my sewing machine or if it really isn't a problem. I use the fusible vinyl that has a matte finish. And I really prefer that because it doesn't, you don't get the glare from the shiny finish, and you can see the design that's underneath it better, I think.
Yeah, I really did like them, and I think that was really key, Patty, the matte finish, that mm-hmm. made a huge difference, because mm-hmm. it just sort of blended in until you got close, and you went like, oh, there's vinyl over this.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try, I have to do some testing and washing and stuff, but I'm going to see if I can do it, the same technique for maybe baby bibs, you know, for when they eat, and changing pads that go in a diaper bag, and see how much washing that vinyl can actually take. Because I have some projects, like I made my bank bag, and it's probably almost 3 years old, and it's just now starting to crack at the bottom fold. So, and it goes to the bank every day with the deposit.
Yeah.
So it's gotten a lot of use. So it very is very
beautiful.
Sturdy. Yeah.
That's good to know, because you are using that bag a lot if you're hauling it around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that I love is that you use a lot of these, take a lot of your small quilts and display them on the little metal stands and things like that. On your website, do you show how they can be displayed?
I do. And on the website, the metal has its own category, and I have turned around the pieces so you can see how I attach them, because I don't want them to be on there permanently. I sew a couple of ties on the back of the pieces, and especially on the cross stitch, because it's got a piece of mat board inserted in there to be stiff. And so that way they can go on and off the same holder, just change that little header. And so I use those for both cross stitch and quilting. So I like those a lot. And those people are very friendly. I like them.
Yeah, Eckfeld.
Yes.
And your site is just that you really display it nicely so people can come and see. Now, before we end, tell me quickly, who is Sam and Sarah?
That's my two youngest. I am lucky to be married for a second time. And so we have five children between us, but Sam and Sarah are the youngest. So they didn't really have a choice in it. They just got...
they're at the top of the banner. Well, Patty, this has been wonderful. Thank you for coming on and sharing.
Thanks so much. I'll see you in May.
Yes, see you in May.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Please visit me at patsloan.com and visit American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine and the family of magazines at allpeoplequilt.com. We both have newsletters, so sign up so that you know what's going on. You get the latest news, and we will see you out on the road, because I travel and the editors at American Patchwork can travel. So we hope when you see us, you come and say hello, and see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.